Support for election coverage on KXCV KRNW comes from William Coy's Farm to Table Restaurant at Mazingo Lake, offering fine dining such as braised short ribs, pan-seared salmon, and more. William Coy's would like to say thank you to customers who continue to support local businesses during uncertain times. More information at williamcoy's.com.
Good morning, and welcome back to your morning conversation as we continue our 2020 election coverage right here on KXCV KRNW. I'm Jeremy Werner. Joining me this morning is Missouri Governor and Republican candidate for governor, Mike Parson. Governor, let's go ahead and start things off. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what was it that originally drew you to becoming a politician?
Well, I think originally just where I grew up in a very humble beginning on a small farm in Hickory County with the youngest of four boys. My mom and dad were just, I want to say, real McCoy farmers. Didn't have a lot of material things, but raised us boys with good Christian values, hard work ethic, and how to be a good neighbor. And then from there, at about 19 years old, I started in the United States Army. Spent two tours of duty overseas, understanding what it really means to represent this country, what the flag of the United States of America stands for, what the Pledge of Allegiance stands for. And that was probably the beginning of my public service. And for the most part, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if I hadn't served in the United States Army. From there, I come back home and became a small business owner, farmer, sheriff back then. I continued that public service as sheriff. And probably one of the most important elections I ever had was being sheriff, simply on the local level because that's the people that trusted you to keep them safe. And I'll never forget that election and how humble I was to be able to do that and to work hard every day to keep the people there safe. And from there, I was in small business, run gas stations for a while, had multiple gas stations, just, again, worked hard, raised a family, a couple of kids, six grandkids now. And then the public service just continued at Jeff City and in the House and the Senate, and then become the lieutenant governor of the state of Missouri, and never dreamed I'd be in that position. And here I am today as the governor of the state of Missouri, and you know, I do believe that there is purposes for everything we do in life, and I'm here today as governor and feel like I have a job to do, and I'm going to continue that job working for the people of this state and still be a public servant, how it all started out.
Switching to the topics that are on voters' minds, the biggest thing this year has been COVID-19. It's not only dominated the headlines, but has dominated public policy. So there's a few questions I have coming up associated with the pandemic. The first question is, how will you handle the possibility of more budget cuts that come with this pandemic?
Well, first of all, I don't believe there will be more budget cuts next year. I think when you look at the economy and the plan we put in place back in the middle of a pandemic starting to work on the economy, as you see, of the 365,000 people that were out of work during the heart of the pandemic, there's now over 200,000 people went back. Consumer spending is up 6.3% as of September before the pandemic. So you got more people going back to work. Revenues are starting to come in. So I think if we stay on course and do a balanced approach by keeping the economy open, dealing with the pandemic, you know, Missouri is going to be on track to be, matter of fact, we're one of the top 12 states in the United States right now for putting people back to work. And our economy is starting to pick back up in the middle of a pandemic. So there's a lot of good signs, but I don't think there is going to be any cuts that I'm aware of next year to the budget at this point.
And how will you be keeping Missourians safe while also keeping the economy afloat? Because that is a very narrow tightrope to walk.
Yeah, it's tough. But the other thing, we're not defenseless against COVID-19. When we first started out, when this pandemic started, there was nobody knew what to do, all the way from the federal government to the state governments to the think tanks. And one of the first things, thank goodness we did, is we really developed our own DASH model here in the state of Missouri, just frankly out of frustration because nobody had the answers. And we reached out to Washington University, the University of Missouri, 10 infectious disease doctors across the state of Missouri, the Missouri Hospital Association, and we started putting a plan in place how we could fight this virus and how we could deal with it. And that's exactly what we executed during that time. We set up mobile test sites. Once we were able to see where this virus was really targeting, the African-American community, our nursing homes, our prisons, our food processing plants, and we were able to go in there and contain those areas, those hot spots, we were able to build a hospital in 11 days in the state of Missouri that nobody would have ever thought you could have done that with the help of the Army Corps of Engineers and the National Guard. We were delivering Remdesivir at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning with the Highway Patrol and the National Guard to truly save people's lives at that time. People back in the time, if you'd listen to the experts back then, what a lot of the media outlets were saying, that there was going to be 22,000 people die in the state of Missouri by the end of May. Those things never happened because we stayed, we worked hard, we found solutions here in Missouri. When we thought we were going to run out of PPE equipment, everybody was worried about that in the entire country. 200 businesses in the state of Missouri converted their business over to make PPE equipment for the people of this state. When the school systems, everybody wanted to shut the school system down on a dime, just say, hey, we're going to lock the doors. Well, the trouble with that is you have to take a balanced approach here in the state of Missouri. There is a little over 900,000 kids that go to school in the state of Missouri. 465,000 of those are on free and reduced lunches. 125,000 are special needs kids. So nothing is simple as just shutting the door and everybody going home and say everything's going to be fine. You still have to be able to feed those kids. You got to keep them healthy. You got to make sure they're safe, and you got to provide services for them. So that's not even to go down the road of the civil unrest that was going on at the time. But again, it's a matter of going to work every day, putting your nose to the grindstone, and keeping people in the state of Missouri at the forefront and trying to do everything you can to keep people safe.
Our KXCV KRNW listening area covers a lot of rural communities, and a good chunk of people in these communities sometimes feel like they've been left behind, whether it's a hospital closure, being passed up for an economic development opportunity, or whatever scenario has made them feel like they've been abandoned by their elected leaders and government. So I'm curious, what policies or measures will you be putting forth to help reassure small town communities and its residents that you are looking out for them?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it. When it comes to rural Missouri, that's where I came from. I came from a town of 356 people and one of the poorest counties in the state. So I get coming from rural Missouri. But I think the things we do, when we do a workforce development program, so we try to get kids in rural Missouri trained up for the workforce of tomorrow, to give them those opportunities to bring STEM education to the school systems and to make sure that kids are knowing what the workforce is, that we're putting a lot of money in VOTEC-type training in our high schools, in our community colleges, that we're giving people opportunity to expand in those jobs. Bringing rural broadband to rural Missouri is probably one of the most important things that I've done since I became governor. And we just put another $20 million in that program to working with a lot of the co-ops around the state. Look, if you're going to be competitive in rural Missouri in today's time, you have to have rural broadband. And as I say to a lot of people a lot of times, if we can put electricity, affordable, reliability electricity in every house in rural Missouri, we can put broadband in there. Yes, it's going to cost something, but look, we need to do our part as state government to help with that. The providers need to do their part instead of just cherry-picking where all the money's at to go to rural Missouri and supply those services for those people. So I think one of the things we did, like in Troy, Missouri, I'll give an example of that. We reached out and we did a partnership with the Troy High School, with the private community, and with Rankin College to put a training site on the high school grounds to start preparing these young kids for the jobs of tomorrow. And there's no reason we can't continue to do that in rural Missouri all across our state.
We're speaking with Missouri Governor and Republican candidate for Governor Mike Parson. Governor, some of the communities in our listening area are also still dealing with the effects of the 2019 floods. Now, I know that Mother Nature can be wildly unpredictable, but I'm curious, what tools at your disposal would you use to help ensure that those devastating floods don't happen again anytime soon?
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any question. It's been a priority, too, since we had the floodings here just a little over a year ago. You know, what that priority become in the state and the devastation of it. But you got to change the management of the river. The Corps of Engineers has got to change the practices that they're currently under to make the to go back to the management of the rivers, to making safety and private property one of the main issues, and to use the rivers for navigation. And all this other stuff about, the animals, all this, the fish and the different kinds of breeds and all that, trying to do everything from that kind of environmental situation. There's a balance act to be done. That's why we put a commission together after the flood last time. It's why for the first time that I know of in Missouri that we have reached out to Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa to try to put a plan in place with the federal delegation to put an end to this flooding that just continues to happen, and nobody does anything about it. So I know we've already changed some levee setbacks. I think it's in Atchison County that we've done that. We're going to try to put some of the management out of the Kansas City office into the St. Louis office and Iowa, because we're all split up down that river, and we're going to try to figure out how we can manage that better. But I think we are truly going to try to change the policy of how the river's managed in the state of Missouri, and I think there's a good opportunity to make changes to it.
So I have to ask you about Amendment 3, because it's becoming a very big topic of discussion in the Show Me State. Just as a reminder for our listeners out there, Amendment 3 would eliminate the nonpartisan state demographer for legislative redistricting. Instead, it'll use a bipartisan commission appointed by the governor. So my question for you is whether or not you're in favor of Amendment 3, why you are, and also if Amendment 3 does pass and you do become governor for a second term, how will you reassure residents that the commission you do pick is bipartisan?
Well, I think before we ever made this change into the law, that's the way it had always been done. It's actually been since 200 years plus of our Missouri. That's the way we've kind of done how we've selected districts there, with Republicans and Democrats having a say in there and a commission being put in place. And I think those all things are important. I think you need to go back to that. Clean Missouri, what was voted on by the people back then, I think there was a lot of issues in there, and you've seen the commercials and the propaganda that was made of it, but it really didn't get to the issue of how you was going to split these districts up to make them 50-50. And I think there's nothing wrong with going back, trying to make sure and clean that up where people really understand what this is. This is a huge turnaround in the way we've done things of districts. And I think having the people go back out there to make sure there's a little bit more, I want to say, clarity to it, and to vote again. I don't think there's anything wrong with allowing people to go back and vote for it again. But I think it's a drastic change the way we've done things. And again, I think that it was politically driven, and I think that's always dangerous when you have amendments or that we go through the initiative petition process with a political agenda.
All right. Those are all the questions I have. So if you want, go ahead and give our listeners and the voters of Missouri one final sales pitch as to why you should be given another term as governor of Missouri.
Well, you know, I think since I became governor, the circumstances I came, one of the things I got to do is I got to do what I really believe was important for Missouri. And I really took two issues that are they're bipartisan issues when I talk about workforce development and infrastructure. I think those are the two most important things you can do to really move our state forward, to give an opportunity for our kids to stay here in Missouri, to give them an opportunity of good jobs and to have their families here in Missouri. We did the largest income tax cut increase in the state of Missouri. We had the lowest unemployment rate in our history, the lowest African-American unemployment in our history of our state. We had over 40,000 new jobs. We had companies like Briggs & Stratton, Bunge, Bayer, Chewy Pet Food, you know, CVS distribution centers, Dollar Tree distribution center. Businesses from all over were coming to the state of Missouri by staying with those basic principles, making sure you're prepared with a workforce, making sure the infrastructure in place is to be successful. We know that works, and I want to continue to do that. And at the end of the day, for me and Teresa, it's really about we spend a lot of time living the American dream, but I do want to make sure our kids and our grandkids have that opportunity to have those opportunities just like we have. And every day I go to work for those next generations, and we'll continue to do that as governor of the state of Missouri.
All right. Thank you for coming on this morning. Once again, that's Missouri Governor and Republican candidate for Governor Mike Parson. Once again, I'm Jeremy Werner, and this has been your Morning Conversation as we continue our 2020 election coverage right here on KXCV KRNW.